Hello, and welcome to Sikahan. Today, FIFA tried to open the World Cup's business to outside investors, and the plan collapsed in under 10 days. So who actually owns the World Cup? On July 28, 2026, FIFA announced a plan to consolidate the commercial rights of all its competitions, including the World Cup, into a new company open to outside investors. Europe's 55 football associations answered with a threat. Unless the proposal was abandoned entirely, no European national team would play in any FIFA competition. Within 10 days, the plan was withdrawn. 10 days in which the governance of world football itself was shaken. Here are the three questions for today. First, why did FIFA try to sell a stake in its money-making arm? Second, why did the plan collapse in under 10 days? And third, who actually owns the World Cup? We will come back to all three with answers at the end. Let's start with what the plan actually was. The plan was called FIFA Forward Enterprise, FFE. It would have moved sponsorship, broadcasting, and licensing for FIFA's competitions into the new company. The press called it selling the World Cup, but the design did not transfer the tournament itself. FIFA's explanation: it keeps ownership and control permanently, while investors hold a minority stake and simply receive a share of profits. A valuation of about $20 billion, with up to $4.2 billion raised, those figures were reported by Bloomberg and others. But they are press figures. FIFA has never published them and rejected the reporting. Here is the timeline. July 28th, FIFA announces the plan. July 30th, UEFA, European football's governing body, and its 55 associations declared that unless the proposal is abandoned, no European team plays in any FIFA competition. The day before, the Asian and North American confederations had already expressed disappointment that they learned of the plan without consultation. July 31st, President Gianni Infantino says he will not pursue a plan that has caused division. And on August 5th and 6th, a letter to all member associations confirms the withdrawal, admits mistakes were made, and apologizes. The offer to member associations was designed to be large. Development payments would rise from $8 million per association to over $20 million from 2027. And if the plan went through, a one-time special payment would bring the total to as much as $40 million per association. The time given to consider it, reportedly, 7 weeks. That design would later become one of the biggest points of contention. Some background: how FIFA's money flows. The structure has three layers: FIFA at the top, six continental confederations below, and 211 national associations below them. Across the current cycle, FIFA's revenue is reported around $13 billion, with roughly 70% coming from the 2026 Men's World Cup alone. The money earned from that one tournament is distributed to associations through a program called FIFA Forward. The FFE plan was framed as a way to raise outside capital and increase those payments. And that development program has a real record. The current cycle provides up to $8 million per association. Compared with the programs that existed before 2016, that is close to a sevenfold increase. The same $8 million means entirely different things in different places. For a European association running on tens of millions a year, it is a top-up. For a small association, it decides whether the national team travels, whether youth development happens, whether pitches get built. The other piece of background: 10 years of the Infantino presidency. In 2015, FIFA was shaken by a corruption scandal, and its longtime president fell. The next year, Gianni Infantino was elected as the face of reform. His decade has followed one line: grow the tournaments, grow the revenue, grow the payments to associations, the expanded Club World Cup, and a 48-team World Cup in 2026. FFE extended that same logic into financial engineering, in its aims continuous with the decade. And in March 2027, the next presidential election is waiting. A leadership brought in to restore transparency, criticized for a failure of process, that history raised the temperature of the backlash. Now, how Reddit reacted, four threads from the football and World Cup communities. The biggest, on the UEFA statement, drew over 16,000 upvotes. The mood leans heavily against FIFA and its president. Skepticism of UEFA and sympathy for FIFA's case are minority views, but we include them below. First, the reaction to the statement's bluntness. No European team will play in any FIFA competition. Before scrolling down, one user writes, "I thought that was the entire statement." Wry applause followed for FIFA's achievement of uniting all of Europe against itself. Second, the arithmetic of the offer. Montserrat, the smallest voting member, is an island of 4,500 people, offered $40 million, 60% of its GDP. A calculation showing just how hard that offer is to refuse for a small association. And third, a colder eye on UEFA itself. Glad they stood up, but it's like Sauron calling Morgoth a bully. Tolkien's two dark lords, one villain condemning another. UEFA, the comment implies, is a commercializer too. In the thread crunching the numbers, the top comment turned to the players. What happens when they start calculating their cut? The current model runs on national pride. Players show up for a fraction of their club wages because the money goes back into football. Let it flow to investors, and that premise dies. The president's own line, "This is the democratization of football," met a sharp reply. "You're confusing democratization with monetization." And on the other side, it looks awful, but for a small association, it's a no-brainer. Cash on the table now, against future costs. Can the rich world's logic really judge that choice? Now the analysis. Question 1. Why did FIFA seek investment at all? The case for redistribution is backed by a real record, that near sevenfold growth in development funding. Football's wealth concentrates in Europe, and how to return value to the countries that produce the players is a genuine question. What remained unanswered was, why outside capital? UEFA pointed out that FIFA sits on reserves of over $5 billion. Why outside investment beats borrowing, or simply spending reserves, was never explained. The core of UEFA's objection was governance, not commerce. Its statement called FIFA the custodian of world football and declared the World Cup cannot be treated as an investment product. It is not for sale. Once outside investors hold a share of future revenues, that arrangement is very hard to unwind. A share of tournaments decades away, granted to whom, at what price, by what process? No independent valuation, no asset list was ever published. That said, UEFA has spent years expanding its own competitions. It is a commercializer, too. Its opposition mixes the principle of trusteeship with the defense of its own market. So what changes when investors come in? The direction of pressure on decisions. Outside shareholders are not charities. They expect returns. Responsibility for revenue growth becomes built into the institution. That can mean pressure on broadcast fees, on ticket prices, and toward more and bigger tournaments. The people who feel that most directly are the players. The International Players Union already filed a complaint with the European Commission in 2024, arguing the match calendar is beyond saturation. FIFA said it would keep control, but published no mechanism to contain that pressure. Question 2. Why did it collapse in 10 days? What sank the plan was process, not substance. CONCACAF has said officially that it first learned of the plan from media reports. Every number stayed press-sourced. Associations were given neither the information nor the time to scrutinize the deal. And the design in which the very associations that would approve the plan stood to receive up to $40 million each looked, unavoidably, like a conflict of interest. Add a lead investor reported to be politically close to the president, with no competitive bidding and no independent valuation. Before the substance could even be examined, Examination itself was impossible. That is where the revolt centered. Let's close. The World Cup's value is a joint creation. Players, clubs, host nations, broadcasters, and fans. FIFA manages the rights. But the co-creators of the value are that wide. Statutes can grant the authority to manage. The legitimacy to sell can only come from consent. Back to the three questions. Why seek investment? The redistribution case was real and backed by a record, but the question of why outside capital was necessary went unanswered. Why did it collapse? Process, not substance. Associations learned from the press, could examine nothing, and the approvers themselves stood to be paid. And who owns the World Cup? Not the president and not Europe. It is a global public good that FIFA holds in trust for the world. The sequel plays out at the FIFA presidential election in March 2027. The full article has the plan's details, each confederation's position, and the complete Reddit threads, link in the description. Thanks for watching.